Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Stewardship for Life, Lesson 4, Bless the Brethren. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to listen to your word preached. Father, we pray your blessings on the pastor who presents your word. Father, we pray your spirit move in each of our hearts and minds that we may know what it means to be better suited for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We start out with the statement, the end is near. The idea there is, if you're going to do something, you better do it, because you don't have forever, right? I believe we are living in the last days. I believe Jesus could come today, tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, but I don't believe it's long, you know? So if we're going to be stewards of the gift that God has given us, we're going to have to get to work. We're going to have to use the gifts that God has placed in our care. And we, as we are stewards of the manifold grace of God, the various graces of God, the first thing I want to call your attention to this morning is the diversity among stewards. The diversity among stewards. As I look out among you today, I see a lot of different people. I mean different, okay? A lot of differences among those that are attending today. Diversity is a very popular term used in our culture today. Everyone wants to be diverse. They want to have people from all walks of life. And you know, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I get that. But I want to tell you today, you are not special because of the color of your skin or your ancestry. You are special because you were designed by the hand of Almighty God Himself. Amen. And you have been given gifts and talents that no one else has that makes you stand out from the crowd. All right? Most of you, you know, most people think, I'm nothing. I can't do a lot. No, you're wrong. God doesn't make nothing. All right? God is a craftsman. Look around. Look at His creation. And you're part of His creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 puts it like this. Paul writing to the church of Corinth says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And you know, to put it in our language, this is the body. This body has many parts. Isn't it wonderful the way this works? Okay? I mean, the hand, it responds when there's a need. The legs respond when there's a need. The older I get, the less things respond to anybody. I told Beth the other day, a couple of weeks ago, I'd spent a day working, doing things I didn't normally do. The next day, I was sore. So, then after that, we went to visit our grandkids, and I rode for 8 hours, and I got out of the car about Memphis, and it was like, oh, I told Beth, I can't work, it hurts. I do nothing, I sit, and it hurts. Is this what getting older is like, you know? Wow, what great things to look forward to, right? In all seriousness, the body. This is the body of Christ. Look around. It is a beautiful body. It is a wonderful body. And it works very, very well. God knew what He was doing when He placed you here. The gift that God has given you makes you special. And that's the first thing I want you to feel like today, that you are special, because you are. All right? God made you. He gave you a gift that caused you to stand out from the crowd. Don't look at yourself, and I hear people all the time, well, Brother Doug, I can't do this, and there's not much I can do. I've heard have people, you know, and we've, I know we've been on a giving campaign for the building program, and people have come to me and said, Brother Doug, I just can't afford to give. That's okay. If you can't afford to give, you can't give what you don't have, right? It's all right. But you do have something to give. And that's what I want you to begin with grasping first. What God has placed in you, abilities that reflect His grace. Now, it's your job to use them. How are you going to use those abilities today? You've got to have a direction. The direction, of course, as stewards of the manifold grace of God, minister to one another there in verse 10. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the brethren. Minister to one another, the people in the church. Peter, the church is a very special place. I love my church. And I say I don't use my church as in it belongs to me. It doesn't. It belongs to God. But I tell you, I belong in my church. You know, I look at it from that viewpoint. Oh, God is good. And He's given us a church so that we may use our talents and our abilities and put to work. And I know people today, oh, church doesn't save you. No, church doesn't save you. But it is the avenue with which God has placed upon this earth for the administration of the manifold graces of God. Okay? That's why He said, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. The church is important. Don't try to back up and say, oh, church is no big deal. You're just too lazy to go to church. You are. I'm sorry. Yeah, people. Have you ever heard that? All church people are the same. They're all hypocrites. And us. Don't try to justify your way out of God's church. Church people know what they are. They're not perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace. We get that. All right? But the glorious part is when you realize, hey, God has given me His body and made me a part of that body so I can function in the ministries in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful thing how it works. And this week, as stewards of the manifold grace of God, I want to change our challenge, okay? This week's going to be a little bit different. Each week you've been emailing me, sharing with me how you've been using your gifts that God has given to you and being stewards of what God has given you. This week I want to do differently. First of all, I don't want any more. This week I don't want any emails saying, I have done this, I have used my gifts like this. Okay? You know what I want? You know what I want to ask? I want to ask that we use our spiritual gifts to bless someone within the body of Christ. I'm talking about this church. All right? I want you to individually pick out two people. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. It'll go a lot faster. All right? Two people this week. Maybe it's somebody that you think gets overlooked way too often. They sit in the corner over here or over there. They never get acknowledged. I want you to pick out two people and consider how you can use your abilities to bless them in a very special way. Okay? And here's the emails I want this week. Instead of you emailing me and telling me what you did, I want the people who are blessed by someone else to email me. Okay? You understand? I don't want you to tell me what you did. I want you to tell me how somebody else blessed you. Can you bless two people this week? Okay? I'm not talking about sub. I'm talking about in your face blessing. You know what I'm saying? I want them to know when you get done with them using your abilities and your talents that God has placed within your care, I want them to know, hey, they have been blessed by the manifold grace of God through you. Can we do that? Can we still email me? Oh, come on. When you're blessed, you don't even have to tell me who does it. when you're blessed, drop me that email. We're working toward Celebration Day. And you say, Brother Doug, I'm not sure what that looks like. I'm not sure how I can do that, how I can bless someone. Well, good. I'm going to tell you how you can, okay? How you can be a steward in action. And we read verse 11, okay? Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. You know what that means? Sound speech. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. The word oracles in the Greek literally means a saying or a message that originates from God. When you speak, speak a message that originates from God. You ever thought about that? How do you do that? Well, first of all, I want you to understand pastors and teachers' viewpoint. People must hear from God. There are way too many churches today who don't even open the Bible anymore. And if you don't have the Bible, you don't have anything, all right? People don't need your opinion. People don't need the pastor's opinion. They need to know what God says is right and what God says is wrong. Everything else is irrelevant. People need to hear from God. So if you're a teacher, if you're a pastor, if you're serving in a role like that, you make sure the Word of God is your focus, and you make sure you're telling people that the message that comes from you literally comes from God. In Proverbs 29:18, we're told, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What's going on in our country? That word revelation, it refers to hearing from God. To put it in our terms, where people do not hear from God, they cast off restraint. They go wild. You want to know what's going on in our country? People aren't hearing from God. Okay? You want to know why people can be so sinful, so mean, so hateful, so unloving, and you know, and you look back, what's our world coming to? They're not hearing from God. We need pastors, teachers, people who will stand up and let them hear from God. And that's all of us, okay? I want to tell you, some of us may be better than others about remembering Scripture, but we can all remember a little bit of Scripture. Yeah? Share that Scripture with people. Share what God has said in His words. Other thing you can do, you can be an encouragement by what you say. All right? Everybody has the talent and the ability to be an encouragement, but few people stop and encourage. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. You like honey? I want to tell you, honey's good stuff, especially if you put it on a homemade roll, huh? Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Something else people need today is encouragement. I appreciate you. You're doing a good job. Teacher, staff member, church member. You know what? And you may never really think about this. But don't you miss people when they're not here? You look around and I wonder where they are. But do you tell them? When they are here, say, man, it's good to see you. I'm so glad you're here today. Then people will look at you and say, what's wrong with you? I'm here every Sunday. Well, I just want you to know I appreciate you being here every Sunday, you know? Be an encourager. It is way too easy to be negative. Well, Sunday school's too long. Teachers too loud. Preachers too soft. Singing's too modern or singing's too old. We're not perfect. Nobody in this church, amen? We all have it. Yeah, we don't have to pick one another apart. Old Satan will do that on a regular basis, and he'll knock us down. What we have to do is be an encourager, being a Barnabas. Say, brother, I appreciate you and I love you for what you're doing. I love you that you for your presence here. And y'all probably don't understand this. You think you just come to church. But I love you for giving me the opportunity to preach to you each week. See, when God called me to preach, He put this desire in me. And if nobody will listen to me, it'd be really sad. Beth get tired of me really quick. She don't want to hear it. She's told me that a number of times. But I do. When you're here each Sunday, it's a blessing. Thank you. Let's take this week and let our words be from God, and let our words be an encouragement from God. Also, stewardship, if we're going to be stewards, we've got to have a prayer life. I'm talking about a solid prayer life, serious prayer life. Let's see. In verse 7. It said, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. James 5:16 puts it like this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, did you know prayer is a ministry? It is. And there are some people that are better at it than others. If you're really sick, I'm talking about deathly sick, and you're looking for somebody to pray for you, do you know a few people that's in the back of your mind saying, that's the person, that's the lady I want praying for me? Because she opens the gates of heaven when she prays, you know, or he opens the gates of heaven. He just knows how to talk to God. Well, we all should have a prayer life. But you know, if you're a prayer warrior, I don't think you often realize how needed you are. You see, prayer changes things. I figured out a long time ago, I can try all I want to try, and the message will flop on its face. I can work as hard as I can work throughout the week, and it'll do no good unless God's involved. The only way to get God involved is get me and others on our knees. You be that prayer warrior. Come up alongside somebody this week. Put your arm around them and say, I just want to have prayer with you and for you. Do you ever do that? I don't think anybody would say, no, I don't need it, thank you. They wouldn't do it. Why? It's so vital. If you want to pray and you don't have somebody to pray for me, pray for, I'll volunteer. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Michael. Pray for Brother Kelly. Pray for Brother Ken. Pray for Brother Dale. But don't just tell them you're praying for them. Come up alongside. Put your arm around and say, I want to pray for you. Right here, right now. Do you ever do that with people when they say, would y'all pray for me? You know, remember me in prayer, and you're out in public, and they say, just pray for me. Just come alongside. Well, let's do it right here, right now. See, that's stewards in action. That's putting the opportunities and the gifts that God has placed before them. That's loving people. Which brings us to the next one. Love that is strong. It says in verse 8, above all, having fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Or if we're going to be stewards with one another, we're going to have to love one another. And I don't mean love one another. I mean love one another. You know? There's a difference in saying I love you and I love you. You know, I tell my wife every day, I love you. But sometime I have to remember to stop and say, I love you. You know? Because there's a difference. He says, above all, he said, this is the most important thing. Be fervent about your love for one another. That's zealous. That's unfailing. That's intense. John 13:35, Jesus said, by all this you'll know, or by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We got to love. And listen, Victory is a loving church. I do not question that at all. But we can love more fervently, more passionately, toward one another. I mean, it's caring for one another. It's having that family bond. Victory's not too big to feel like you're walking into your family when you come here. Do you know that? That's the way we should feel. That we're among family, because we are. We are the family of God. We must have a passion for one another, that we want to see one another blessed. Don't you want to see the other members of this church blessed? I mean, really? You ever see somebody blessed and somebody say, "I don't know what had to happen to them"? You see somebody get a new car and somebody else say, "They didn't need a new car." Something's wrong with that kind of love. Yeah. Love says, "Wow, I want you to be blessed." It's kind of like, I relate it like this. When I look at my children, I want my children to have the best that they can possibly have. Why? Because I love them. I love them with all my heart. I want them to make a good paycheck, you know, in this world. And I've never backed up and said, "Boy, my children make too much money." Why? Because I love them. I want them to make a good living, a really good living, as much as they can make. Why? Because I love them. I want them to have the best that God has to offer. You know? I want them to have the very best. And you know, I was talking about money a while ago. Money's the small thing. More than money, I want them to be spiritually alive and serving in Jesus Christ their Lord. You know? I want them to have God's best. I want them to have God's blessings everywhere they turn and everywhere they look. You see, that's love. As we look at one another, that's the passion we've got to have for one another. Say, "Brother Doug, I can't muster that on my own." You're right. That comes from God. Comes from prayer time, and then start putting it into practice. I figured something out. If I don't ever practice it, I'll never get good at it. Love's something you have to put into practice. Do you know that? Okay? You have to exercise. The more you exercise love, the better you'll get at it. When we first married, I wasn't real good at loving. I'm still not where I want to be. But praise God, I'm not the insensitive jerk that Beth married. You know, I'm getting better. Same way in the Lord. I want to grow in love. I want to grow in loving you and seeing you prosper and most definitely prosper in Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. Okay? That's what love is. Having a desire for one another. This week, bless somebody. Let's go on. And hospitality that is sincere. Verse 9. Be hospitable to one another. Here's the hard part. Without what? Oh, come on. Without what? Grumbling. You know what grumbling is? Grumbling is under your breath. Talking. That's, "I'll do it, but I'm not going to like it." We've all been there. We've all been there. There's an attitude that churches have. And it doesn't take you very long to realize the attitude once you're around that church. Now, I say this, praising God, I appreciate, I love the atmosphere of Victory Baptist Church. I believe that when you walk in here at a worship service, you know you're in the presence of God. I believe that there's love among the people, the members of Victory. But here's what I also know. Oh, Satan wants in. Okay? Satan wants in. And he's not welcome here. 100% he's not welcome here. How does he infiltrate churches? Well, one of the ways is what I call an undercurrent. You know, where people are going about their different ministries, but if they get the chance, they talk to somebody and say, "Did you hear what Brother Doug did? Did you hear what Brother Deacon did? Did you hear about the scandal that somebody else was involved in?" And they, you know, and they, that below the surface talking. Oh, listen, the person that said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me was a liar. Okay? Words do hurt. Words do hurt. You make sure that you're kind to one another. And not just this week. The challenge is, okay, this week let's put these things into practice. But in the weeks to come, daily, you know, that kindness reigns in your relationship. We all know that we're pretty messy people, don't we? I mean, let's face it, we all have our shortcomings. But the wonderful thing about it is that we serve a God who gave Himself a sacrifice for all our shortcomings. And I want to tell you something. If God can forgive us, we should be able to forgive one another. Okay? I don't preach that today because I know something. I don't. I preach that because that's where we are, you know, in our study. But I can promise you this. You may be at perfect peace with everyone here today, but hang around a little while. We're all people. And I promise you, at some point along the way, somebody's going to cross your path and be less than hospitable. And you're going to have the opportunity to respond either in hospitality, kindness, gracious love, or to respond in a manner which would hurt you, that individual, and the church. Why? How do I know that? Because it always happens. Right? It always happens because we're people. We're people. You remember what Brother Doug said. Be kind, generous, hospitable, gracious to one another. Always. There's never excuse for anything less. You may be here today, and I know this has been a church message, a steward message, that we're going to put these things into practice. Listen, before you become a steward, before you can be a good steward, you first have to be a steward. Right? You've got to be saved. Everybody, contrary to popular belief, everybody's not going to heaven. It does matter what you believe. The Bible says that there is one way to heaven. And that one way is Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Have you come to the Father through the saving blood of Jesus Christ? If not, we want to give you an opportunity to begin your walk with God today. Maybe you're here today and your stewardship is slipping. Going through motions. We all have our ups and downs, but you know, going through the motions doesn't cut it. Amen? It doesn't cut it. Let's face it. Leaves you empty, leaves you feeling like nobody cares, and it's time to get real again. Living in grace, living in love. It's time to get real and get on our knees and ask God, "Lord, put that desire, that love, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Maybe you're here today and you know you're saved, but you're out of church. And you've been making excuses, "Lord, you know, I don't have to go to church to please the Lord." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Okay? That's why, you know, use those gifts to one another. Minister to one another using the gifts that God has given. Right? To God be glory through His church. Right? You cannot back up and say church is not important. You can't do it. All right? Now, you're using that as an excuse. No more excuses. No more excuses. You need to find your church. And if God's leading you to become a member of Victory, come on, let's go. Let's hold hands, serve the Lord together. Here we go. To His glory. But if God's got a place for you somewhere else, you get there and you get involved using the abilities that God has placed within your care. You're responsible. Whatever your spiritual need is, this is the time of the invitation. And during this invitation, as God leads you, I'd invite you to respond. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word and the reminder what a joy it is to be Your child and what a joy it is to be a steward and part of a church family. Lord, it is good. It is good to be in Your kingdom. And it is good to know the joy of church relationships and serving together side by side. Oh, Lord, keep us united. Help us to love one another. Help us, Lord, with all our might to be passionate about our love for You and for one another. And now as we come to this invitation, I pray that Your will be done. That, Lord, we make no excuses, but that we respond to Your leading. In Jesus' name I pray.